This is Fresh Air. I'm Dave Davies, senior writer for the Philadelphia Daily News, filling in for Terry Gross. Seth Rogen was only 17 when he got his first big break, a role on the TV series Freaks and Geeks, produced by Judd Apatow. Too bad it was canceled before the end of the first season. So was Rogen's next series with Apatow, Undeclared. But they reunited for a series of movie hits, The 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, and Superbad, which Rogen also co-wrote. Rogen co-wrote and stars in the film Pineapple Express, a funny hybrid kind of stoner and action film which comes out on DVD next week. Terry spoke to Rogen about it in July. Rogen plays Dale Denton, a process server. While parked outside the home of someone he's about to serve with a subpoena, he witnesses the guy being murdered. Not wanting to be discovered, Dale drives away, but he accidentally drops some telltale evidence— the very potent marijuana Pineapple Express, which is sold by only one dealer, his. So the killers know how to find Dale and his dealer, Saul Silver, played by James Franco. Here's a scene just before the murder. Dale is at his dealer Saul's place smoking and buying Pineapple Express before heading to his next assignment. Saul is surprised to see Dale so professionally dressed.
What's up with the suit?
Well, I'm a process server, so I have to wear a suit.
Wow. You're a servant? Like, a butler? A chauffeur?
No, what? No, I'm not like... No, I'm
shoes?
I'm a process server. I like...
In process.
I work for a company that's like hired by lawyers to like hand out legal documents, like subpoenas to people who don't want them, so I gotta wear like disguises sometimes just to make them admit that they're themselves so I can serve them the papers.
Disguise?
Kind of, I guess. It's a hell of a job.
That's cool, man.
Like a day-to-day basis, it's fine. Like,
got a great job where you don't do anything.
That's what I say.
I wish I had that.
Are you kidding? You do. You have the easiest job on earth.
That's true.
You didn't think of that.
No. I do have a good job.
Yeah, you do nothing.
Thanks, man.
No problem.
Seth Rogen, welcome to Fresh Air. What are some of the possibilities you saw in the idea of an action film with two stoners as the heroes?
You know, it just kind of seemed like a funny way to explore action movies, I guess. I mean, I'm a big fan of them always. And, you know, it's always people who are very equipped to deal with the situations that they're thrown in. So the notion just seemed funny because it's like basically stoners are kind of the last guys in the world who are equipped to deal with that. And the humor possibilities just seemed somewhat endless.
There's a lot of... action scenes in the film that are obviously inspired by action movies. What was one of the classic scenes you wanted to try yourself? Like, there's one scene where you have to jump from a balcony. I think it's onto Gary Cole, who's who's one of the villains. And that's such a classic scene. Like, tell me the action film that doesn't have that kind of jump. A
dramatic
on it.
Leap.
Yeah. So what are things you wanted to, like, do that you've seen in other action films?
Well, one of the big things that we wanted to do was trying to kick out a car window as you're driving after it's been shattered, you know, obstructing your view. I mean, that's, I can't count how many movies I've seen that in. And we just thought, you know, like it could be funny if it just kind of goes wrong and his foot just kind of punctures through the window and gets stuck. And you know, we just kind of wanted to play with these iconic moments in action. There's a really small one that always makes me laugh really hard where there's a big shootout at the end, and the moment my gun runs out of bullets, I turn and there's just another gun sitting there, and I'm like, oh, nice. And to me, that always just, it's like so convenient, and, you know, they never run out of bullets in action movies, unless it's at the most dramatic time possible.
And you had, this is your first movie we had to carry a gun, right?
In Superbad, I carry a gun, but I didn't get to shoot it.
Oh, that's
much.
True, because you're a cop. Yeah, of course. And you carry it very irresponsibly. Yeah,
I do. But in this, there was like a week straight of shooting where like all I did was shoot a machine gun. And I hate to, it went every against all my Jewish and Canadian instincts, but I enjoyed every second of it.
When you were growing up, could you physically defend yourself as a kid? And did you ever need to?
I did. I did karate for a really long time, almost 10 years when I was younger. And I was always big. I was kind of around this size, like, since I went into high school. I played rugby and stuff like that. So people, you know, would screw with me. But I'd never gotten, like, to a real fight or anything like that.
Why'd you take karate?
My friends did it. Sammy and Evan took it. It was at the Jewish Community Center It was just really something to do. I was really into martial arts movies and stuff like that. You know, I liked action movies. Jean-Claude Van Damme was a major influence on me at that point in my life.
So how far did you get? What belt?
I was like a brown belt, which is pretty good. I entered a tournament once, and I punched a guy in the throat and got disqualified. I realized, I don't know if you're familiar with Karate Kid, but the bad guys in that are called Cobra Kai, and they're like the evil karate guys. And when I went to the tournament, I realized that's what we were. We were like the Cobra Kai of the Jewish karate community.
Since you placed donors in so many films, tell us about the first time you got high and what the experience was like.
I was pretty young. I guess I was in high school, so I was probably 13 years old. It was crazy. I remember it very vividly. I remember it was actually kind of horrifying because one of my friends, we smoked out of a bong, and one of my friends, this is so stupid, he didn't want to bring, it was after school on a Friday, and we smoked weed in this park called the Ravine that was right across the street from my high school, and he didn't want to bring the bong back home with him. We were going to walk back to his house and hang out. He didn't want to bring it there, so he wanted to go back into school and put the bong in his locker and leave it in there. And I was like, dude, I was so paranoid and high and scared. I was like, we can't go back into school. Like, that's the last place we should go to school. Are you kidding me? And he was just like, no, I'm just going to put it in my locker. No one will know. No one will know we're high. He had smoked pot before a few times. And I lost my mind. And I we can't go back in there. And they just went in anyway. And I remember thinking, we're traveling through time. I remember keep thinking that. And then he put it back in and everything was fine. And we went back to his place. We ate a lot. And we wrestled in his room, I remember, and one of my friends tripped over a beanbag chair and hurt his head, and it sobered us up completely.
My guest is Seth Rogen, and he's starring in the new movie Pineapple Express, which he also co-wrote with Evan Goldberg, and the two of them also wrote Superbad, and also were producers of 40-Year-Old Virgin. So how did you meet Evan Goldberg?
I met Evan at bar mitzvah class. It was called Tullis and Tefillin. Every day after, maybe not every day, a few days a week after school, all the Jews that went to that temple would converge and learn of their Haftorahs and whatnot. And him and Fogel were in my bar mitzvah class. And we became great friends. Once, you know, you're in bar mitzvah class with people, they got to invite you to their bar mitzvah. So we got invited to dozens and dozens of bar mitzvahs. And there was a year straight where every weekend I went to at least one bar mitzvah or bat mitzvah. And we would all go, and it was a lot of fun. We'd sneak some beers. We'd hang out. We would try to get with girls and not. And usually we'd just end up hanging out together alone. But we became good friends.
Well, didn't you write the first draft of Superbad when you were 15 with Evan Goldberg?
We started younger. We started when we were around 13, writing it, maybe 14. I'm a little older than he is, like only like 6 months. But like, I would say like the general structure of the movie, like the series of events, is very similar to what it was when we first wrote it. What wasn't there, though, was the relationship between the Seth and Evan characters. The fact that, you know, they were going to college and they were breaking up and they were going to different colleges and they felt weird about that. That was all stuff that was added as we got older and a little smarter and, you know, we realized more, you know, what made a good movie. And ultimately, you know, that's what the movie's about. And we kind of wrote the movie backwards in that regard. Now that's what we would start with and kind of build everything around it. But, you know, later we worked out the emotional side.
Well, let me play something from working out the emotional side. And it sounds like this is a scene that you added later when you were older. And this is toward the end of the movie when the Evan and Seth characters, they've been fighting a lot and getting in each other's way. But at this party where all kinds of mayhem happens. But anyways, the Evan character rescues the Seth character from this terrible situation. They're both really drunk. They sleep side by side in sleeping bags. And the Evan character, played by Michael Cera, has this to say to the Seth character, played by Jonah Hill.
I can't believe you saved me. You saved me. I owe you so much.
You cared. I love you. I love you, man.
I love you. I love you. I'm not even embarrassed to say it. I love you.
I'm not embarrassed.
Love you.
I love you. It's like, why don't we say that every day? Why can't we say it more often?
I just love you. I just want to go to the rooftops and scream, I love my best friend, Evan.
We should go up on my roof.
For sure.
Like when you went away for Easter on your vacation, like, I missed you.
I missed you too.
I want the world to know. It's the most beautiful thing in the world.
Boop, boop, boop. Come here. Come here, man.
And that's the Seth character giving the Evan character a big hug.
Yes.
So it's a very uncharacteristically emotional scene for these two characters. And they're very embarrassed in mourning when they wake up next to each other.
It's like they slept
over
to each other.
Yes,
exactly.
Exactly. So where did that scene come from? Had you had emotional moments like that with Evan or any other male friend?
Never, ever in a million. Never. Not with Evan for sure. I mean, I've never had something like, you know, drunk people have tried to do that to me and I instantly shut it off. Just say, don't do this, dude. You'll feel terrible about this later. I'll bring it up all the time. I'll make fun of you. Just save yourself the embarrassment and don't do it. To us, you know, these male friendship stories are just funny, you know. When we grew up in Vancouver, you know, our friends were, I don't know if I'd say callous, but we had a very, you know, harsh relationship with one another. We constantly make fun of each other. You know, emotions, you know, really were not welcome there, you know. There was no room to get your feelings hurt. You know, everyone had really thick skin, I would say. And then I moved to L.A. and everyone's actors here and writers and everyone's like super emotional and super in touch with their feelings. And it seemed like every 2 weeks one of my friends was coming to me and be like, you hurt my feelings the other day, dude. And I'd be like, what are you talking about? What? And to us, there's just nothing funnier than like a guy awkwardly explaining to another guy that he's hurt his feelings and then later awkwardly, you know, forgiving him for doing that.
Seth Rogen speaking to Terry Gross in July of last year. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. Our guest is Seth Rogen. His movies include The 40-Year-Old Virgin, Knocked Up, Superbad, and Pineapple Express. Terry spoke to him in July.
Now, let me ask you about Knocked Up,
yes.
In which you play a very unenlightened guy who has a kind of drunken... You're drunk at a bar, and a very attractive woman is drunk at the bar, too. She's an anchor for... a local station, and you end up sleeping together for one night. And actually, let me play a clip from the movie. And this is like the morning after. It's like the day after you're meeting in a coffee shop.
Yeah.
After you've slept together, and you're both like really uncomfortable.
Whew. I just yacked. Something nasty. I feel way better, though. I think that's like the secret. Like, you gotta, I mean, once you're hungover, you just gotta puke. So did you puke?
No.
You can't. I don't think it's gross.
Oh, that's okay. I'm fine. Okay. Some coffee. So.
You know the best thing for a hangover is weed. Do you smoke weed?
Not really.
You don't?
No.
At all?
Mm-mm.
Like in the morning?
No, I just don't.
You know, it is like the best medicine. Because it fixes everything. Jonah broke his elbow once. We just got high and it still clicks, but. I mean, he's okay.
Right.
Yeah. Last night was great. What I remember of it.
Right, yeah.
Well, it turns out, as most of our listeners probably know, that she's pregnant from this one-night stand that you've had together, and she decides to keep the baby, and then you're in the position of having to figure out what the heck to do, and you end up actually falling in love with each other. So, you know, a lot of people's reaction to the movie was... There's no way she would have had this baby. You know, she's just started this like new job. She's so into her career. There's no way she'd have this baby. And you and she are so different. There's no way that she'd actually stay with your character because you guys have nothing in common. So what's your reaction to that response?
I don't know. I mean, she does keep the baby. I mean, to me, that's a weird issue that there's no way she would keep this baby. I mean... I don't think this character is the first person in the history of the universe to get pregnant and keep the baby. I mean, people do that. I mean, if she didn't keep the baby, it'd be a pretty short movie. So, you know, we just didn't tell that story. To me, when there's movies that are about, you know, guys named Hellboy and, you know, the issue that they have with our movie is that she doesn't get an abortion. I mean, there's greater suspensions of disbelief that are made on a daily basis among moviegoers. And as far as, you know, she would never fall in love with me, I mean, I feel like that's what the movie's about. I mean, either you buy it or you don't. I mean, that's what it is. I mean, that's the journey. It's that she does, you know, we do slowly fall in love with each other. So either the movie works for you or it doesn't. I mean, and that's, you know, that's up for debate.
You've played several characters who are kind of clueless about women and what women or girls really want and who they really are. Now, I have to say, you grew up in Vancouver. Yeah. You've described your parents as radical Jewish socialists. So I have to assume that your parents tried to bring you up in an enlightened atmosphere where you learned to respect women and treat them
as
equals.
Yes, very much so. Yes.
Which your characters never know how to do. So
no, not at all. But I feel like I feel like the reason I have the insight to know that that's funny to watch is because I know how wrong it is, you know. And I also feel like that's kind of why we can get away with it, is because you can tell that we're not actually like that, that we're showing these guys as idiots and that we think they're wrong. And that's the joke of the scene, is it's not look how great this guy's advice is, it's look at what a moron he is.
So what are some of the things your mother taught you about how to behave around women or how to treat women?
Oh, just always be extremely respectful was something that was drilled into me, which I think probably prevented me from having sex for a good 7 years longer than it should have. I mean, you know, some of my friends would lie to girls to get them or do things, you know, that were cheat on girls. That was just never in the realm of what, you know, was instilled in me, you know? Yeah, I mean, my mom's a social worker, for God's sakes. I mean, it's always, when it came to, like, appropriate behavior towards one another, it was, I was well-versed.
So you moved to L.A. when you were 17, maybe?
Yeah.
Were you graduated from high school yet?
Nope. It was the summer going into my senior years when I moved.
Why did you move? You ended up working on Freaks and Geeks, but you didn't have that
I moved because I
yet,
got
did you?
No, I did. I got cast on that from Vancouver. Oh. They did like casting sessions like all over North America, in Chicago, New York, Toronto, and I moved to LA with a job.
Now, let me play a scene from Freaks and Geeks, and this is a series set in high school. Which also starred James Franco, who's in Pineapple Express with you. This is one of the episodes that you were prominently featured in, and you were with a girl who plays tuba, and you're starting to date, and she's about to hit you with a really big surprise.
This isn't really that uncommon. But when I was born, I had the potential to be male or female.
Yeah, me too.
No, I mean, I was born with both male and female parts.
Uh-huh.
My parents made a decision with the doctors that I should be a girl. I mean, thank God, because that's who I am. But it's still a really big part of my life. And I thought you should know.
No, this is good that you told me this.
Are you freaking out?
No. You know, you're all girl now.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, it's okay, you know. If I was dating you when you were just born, things might be a little different because you know that. But now you're all girl now, so it's okay.
Thanks, Ken.
Yeah, you know it's I had my appendix out, so you know I've been there.
That's Seth Rogen in a scene from Freaks and Geeks. It must have been an amazing experience at the age of 17 to suddenly be on a show like Freaks and Geeks. And even though it wasn't a commercial success, it was a big cult success, and I bet it's still popular on DVD. And that's where you met Judd Apatow, who you're still working with. I mean, you've had such incredible successes together. So can you talk a little bit about what it was like to suddenly go from like high school kid to suddenly being a co-star on an American TV series at the age of 17?
It was amazing. You know what's funny about that time when I think back on it is how it's actually kind of scary, how little thought I put into the actual quality of the show. Like, I didn't think it was a bad show necessarily, but I don't remember putting any thought at all into whether or not it was a good or bad show. I think I was just so ecstatic that I was working. And then as it went on, you know, I started to really appreciate that it was good and that we were doing something a little different and that, you know, everyone was really cool to work with and that it was a really talented group of people. And it was kind of just when I was realizing that, that it got canceled.
It was great to talk with you. I really want to thank you a lot.
Thank you very much for having me.
Seth Rogen speaking to Terry Gross in July of last year. His film Pineapple Express comes out on DVD next week. I'm Dave Davies, and this is Fresh Air.